Our next scheduled presentation is titled Evaluation of Extend-Flex Cotton Injury from Various Herbicide Tank Mix Combinations. Chase Samples, Darren Dodds, and several others with Mississippi State University. So, Chase, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Dr. Barber. And I'd like to thank Ryan. He set me up pretty well. We're kind of going along the same lines here, except he's looking at weed control. I'll be looking more specifically at crop injury. Again, my name is Chase Samples. I'm a second-year PhD under Dr. Darren Dodds, as well as his extension associate. And through the development of glyphosate resistance, it's become a well-known fact it's a struggle with life with the grower today. However, Monsanto has come up with ExtendFlex technology, and pending regulatory approval, we will be able to put dicamba over the top if it eventually ever happens. Dicamba has been shown to be an exceptional tool to have in the toolbox. Dicamba has provided up to 90% control of glyphosate-resistant palmer. When tank mixed with glufosinate, it has been shown to increase control. Treatments containing dicamba have been observed to control horseweed 79 to 100% 14 days after application. And Mon 76832, which is one of the new experimental formulations, has been shown to control 30 to 60 centimeter non-glyphosate-resistant palmer 97% 36 days after application. Since we're pending regulatory approval, a lot of our growers are still leaning heavily on the glufosinate-based system. Glufosinate is another great tool to have in the toolbox. It has increased control from 9 to 19% compared to glyphosate of glyphosate-resistant palmer. Two post-application of glufosinate have been shown to provide 96% control of glyphosate-resistant palmer, and single applications of glufosinate have provided 82 to 94% control 3 weeks after treatment. It's important to point out right now in the Mid-South as well as across part of the Southeast that the number one planted varieties in all these states is a Glytol Liberty Link variety or a Phytogen variety, where if we did, we have the potential to put glufosinate over the top. So we can justify this research due to since the development of glyphosate-resistant palmer. Several early post-applications rely on several modes of action in a single application. Particularly in the Mid-South over the last 3 years, we've seen the sprayer get behind the planter pretty rapidly and then a lot of rain come. So we'll see guys come out in a hurry and put glyphosate, glufosinate, and S-metolachlor out to try to kind of get back ahead of the palmer. With the development of ExtendFlex technology, growers have the potential to apply several different modes of action at once. However, injury potential in the ExtendFlex system has yet to be further examined. Several calls were received from growers by several extension specialists regarding early season injury due to herbicide application on ExtendFlex cotton. So the current objective of this study is to quantify differences in injury on 2 to 4 leaf cotton receiving applications of glyphosate, glufosinate, dicamba, and S-metolachlor, either alone or in combination with one another. We would also like to evaluate the effects of these applications on cotton growth, development, and yield. So we hypothesize that treatments containing glufosinate and S-metolachlor will have a higher level of injury in the ExtendFlex system than other treatments. Injury will have an effect on cotton growth and development during bloom. However, injury will not have an effect on cotton yield. So this experiment was in Starkville, Mississippi at the All Four Plant Science Research Center, as well as in Brooksville, Mississippi at the Black Belt Branch Experiment Station. I will note that we have two varieties, Delta Pine 1522 and Stoneville 4946. This was two separate experiments in Starkville. We had 4946 in direct vicinity to the Delta Pine 1522. At Brooksville, we only had the 1522. The plot dimensions were 4 1-meter space rows, 12.2 meters in length, and we have 4 reps of each plot. Application time is 2 to 4 leaf. Application equipment was CO2-powered backpack sprayer, 140 liters per hectare at 317 kilopascals, and our walking speed was 4.8 kilometers per hour. At 26 different combinations, this list could probably be even longer, but I really don't think we could spray them all. The baseline would be glyphosate, glufosinate, S-metolachlor, and then 3 different types of dicamba. Ingenia being BASF's, Clarity, and then Mon 119096. We also, if we were in a place where we could use something already in the jug. We use the sequence for glyphosate plus S-metolachlor and MON-76832, which would be Monsanto's proprietary glyphosate plus MON-119096. We pull treatments directly out of this list to put on 4946. They included glufosinate glyphosate, S-metolachlor, glufosinate plus S-metolachlor, glufosinate plus glyphosate, glyphosate plus S-metolachlor, and glufosinate plus glyphosate plus S-metolachlor. Heading intervals were 3 days after application, 7 days after, 14, 21, and 28. For time, I will only be discussing the 3 and 7 days after. The data collected were height 7 days after application, first bloom, as well as end of season. I will only be discussing the height at first bloom as well as lint yield. This experiment was set up as a randomized complete block. The data was analyzed using ANOVA, using the prop mix procedure in SAS version 9.4, and all the means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD at P equals 0.05. So as we transition over into the data, let me just take a moment to set this slide up. On the y-axis, we have percent injury. On the x-axis, we have the treatment in question. This is percent injury 3 days after on Delta Pine 1522 Extend Flex. The bars with the stripes indicate that they were significantly the highest ones in the trial. The common trend between all of these is every one of them have metolachlor. Five of these seven actually have glufosinate plus metolachlor. Of these five, the amount of injury ranged from 33% all the way upwards to 45% 3 days after application. This is Stonewall 4946, 3 days after application. The first thing I want to point out is the difference in the scale. We went from 0 to 45 with the Delta Plant Stem Flex. We go from 0 to 12 on the Stonewall 4946. However, there's still a similar trend there in that when we applied glufosinate plus S-metolachlor, we saw an increase in injury on both. However, the increase in injury was just greater on the Extendflex. 7 days after application, again, we see a similar trend in that treatments containing dual had the greatest amount of injury. Similarly, as three days after, again, treatments containing glufosinate plus dual, also five of these also had the most injury. On the Stonewall 4946, again, a similar trend is still there. However, we still see a change in scale in that the amount of injury we're seeing here is drastically less than what we saw in the Extendflex variety. 14 days after application, there were no significant differences. However, the trend was still there. We basically had got all the way down to less than 5% on both varieties in most cases. Height at first bloom, again, the trend looks different because we have the bar still lined for the significantly the highest ones. But where we saw the greatest injury, so like in Ingenia plus glyphosate plus glufosinate plus S-metolachlor, they were significantly shorter than the untreated check. Height at first bloom on Stonewall 4946. It's not quite as clean as what we saw with the 1522 and the S-metolachlor treatments, such as S-metolachlor or glyphosate plus glufosinate. We did not see as much reduction in height where we saw it with the Extendflex variety. There were no significant differences in lint yield regardless of treatment. The yield ranged from 1,900 to 2,100 pounds across all treatments. And for the Stonewall 4946, again, there were no significant difference when looking at yield, regardless of treatment, all yielded within 1,800 to 2,000 pounds. So in conclusion, just to reiterate myself, five of the seven highest injury levels were received when glufosinate and S-metolachlor were tank mixed 3 days after application on Extendflex cotton. These ratings range from 33 to 43%. These findings are similar to what Dodson et al. 2013 observed, where higher level of injury were observed when glufosinate was applied in combination with dicamba. There were no significant differences observed 3 days after application in regards to crop injury when evaluating the GLB2 variety. Ratings range from 2 to 10% depending on the treatment. 7 days after application, treatments that were applied to ExtendFlex cotton as a tank mix containing S-metolachlor were observed to have a highest level of crop injury. Again, 5 of these also contained glufosinate as a tank mix partner. There were no significant differences observed between herbicide treatments and that of the untreated check when evaluating the GLB2 variety. 14 days after application, there were no significant differences observed between herbicide combination and the untreated check for either variety. Height at bloom was affected by herbicide application to both the ExtendFlex variety as well as the GLB2 variety. Yield was not significantly affected by herbicides in either the ExtendFlex variety or the GLB2 variety, and these findings are also similar to findings by Dodds et al. In 2013. I think the take-home message to all this really is, though, that you heard Dr. Culpepper hit on it earlier in his talk. We can't just throw everything in the toolbox at this once. We're going to have to know how much injury the grower really wants to see and what he can deal with before we start going at it like this. So the potential future objectives that affect what I'm currently looking on with the rest of my PhD study is the effect of deposition aids on insecticide and herbicide canopy penetration in cotton and soybeans, the effect of droplet size on insecticide efficacy, and the effect of droplet size on herbicide efficacy. With that, I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. Darren Dodds, Dr. Angus Ketchot, Dr. Greg Kruger, Dr. Dan Reynolds, Dr. Trent Irby, Ty Fowler with Monsanto for funding this research, my fellow graduate students, student workers, and with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, ma'am. Necrosis and chlorosis. Right. The question was, what symptoms was I looking for injury? Yes, sir.
Any of these combinations in this trial, did you use any spray agents at all other than what was included in the glufosinate and
the question is, in this trial, did I use any adjuvants outside of what was already contained in the jug? No, sir, I did not. Yes, sir.
Would you recommend using Cootie Sprayer or S-metolachlor or say the glufosinate mix with S-metolachlor or glufosinate mix with S-metolachlor? Would you recommend using Cootie Sprayer?
So the question is, would I recommend using a hooded sprayer if we were putting out S-metolachlor with glufosinate? I think that depends on the grower. I think that depends on a multitude of things right now. We had a lot of guys get away with it this year. It didn't bother anybody. We just had some guys didn't. Their cotton still picked fine. It's just the fact that they called Darren or Tom or one of these guys said, what did I do? Y'all said we could do this, and this is what my cotton looks like.
Any other questions? All right, let's thank our speaker.